Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Following On Daily podcast. I'm Andrew McKenna, and I'm alongside the former England bowlers Steve Harmison and Alex Tudor to look back at India's innings victory over England in the fifth test in Dharamshala to clinch a 4-1 series win. England wrapped up the Indian innings quickly on day three with James Anderson taking his 700th test wicket. But that was as good as it got for England, as they were dismissed for just 195 in the third innings to give India victory by an innings and 64 runs, despite an impressive 84 from Joe Root. We'll be discussing that record-breaking day for James Anderson and dissect what was a miserable performance from Ben Stokes' side. We'll also look ahead to the English summer and debate some of the decisions that the England camp may have to make. And we'll get some exclusive reaction from the camps as well. So plenty to come over the next 30 minutes or so. You are listening to Following On. Right, well, let's recap the whole day. Of course, India were batting at the start of the day, resuming 473 for 8 with a lead of 255. Fortunately, from an England point of view, they managed to wrap things up relatively quickly. Kuldeep was the ninth man out eventually. James Anderson getting him out, caught behind off of the bowling of Anderson, caught by Folks for 30 from 69 deliveries. Anderson's 700th Test match wicket, the first seamer to reach the dizzy heights of 700. So congratulations to him. And it was Bashir who wrapped things up, getting Bumrah stumped by Folks for 20, that making it 477 all out, those two wickets coming three balls apart. So Anderson finished 2 for 60, Wood 0 for 89, 2 for 126 for Hartley, Bashir another 5 for 173, Stokes 1 for 17, and Joe Root 0 for 8 from his three overs. So England trailed by 259. Unfortunately, they were already a wicket down inside of two overs when Duckett was out for two. Crawley, a 16-ball duck. Pope for 19, caught it backwards square leg for the score 36 for 3 at that point. Bairstow came in and whacked a lusty 39 from 31 to make it 92 for 4 when Kuldeep had him LBW. And Stokes bowled by Ashwin for 2 with the delivery that turned out to be the last one before lunch. That was 103 for 5. Folks was the sixth man out, bowled by Ashwin for 8. Hartley was LBW to Bumrah for 22 balls later. Mark Wood was LBW to Bumrah, one hitting him flush on the boot, a 2-ball duck. Bashir bowled by Jadeja for the ninth man out to make it 13. And Joe Root, the last man standing, he went and take on Kuldeep and was caught by Bumrah on the boundary for 84. England 195 all out. India therefore winning by an innings and 64 and take the series 4-1. Delighted to say that Steve Harmison and Alex Tudor are alongside me. Well, we suspected when it went, it would happen pretty quickly. I think it went alarmingly quickly in the end, though, Harmy, didn't it?
Yeah, far too quickly from a top order point of view. I think the middle, the lower middle order showed some resistance and showed some fight and fire. You had the likes of Hartley and Bashir, and obviously to sort of stick with Joe Root. But I think once England lost them, especially the first two wickets, the wicket of Duckett was a shot he'll not want to see again. The innings of Pope wasn't one that filled you with a great deal of confidence in. And a good bit of bowling from Ashwin to get rid of Crawley. But I think all in all, I think you've got to look at this game in isolation. I think this has been a really, really poor performance. I think the other four test matches, England have been in the contest, well within the contest. And they should be proud of the way I think they've gone about their job. I think they'll just look at minor little things in each of their middle three test matches in this series. And I am starting to wear thin of the this is how we play. I think they need to play some smarter cricket in tough situations. And I think if they can do that, then I think this team can go to a whole new level. If they continue going the way they're going, well, they'll beat mediocre teams and they'll get beat off top sides. Because, when top sides do get a sniff, they run all over the back of you, run all over the top of you. They're getting a sniff in this series, India, and never really let England back in when it was in tough conditions.
I've given you the scorecard in terms of the scores, Alex Tudor. I'm now going to give you the scorecard in terms of the wickets. Duckett, an absolute hack at the 11th ball of the innings to Ashwin. He didn't really know where he was going. He came down the pitch, had a charge, and launched, or tried to launch, one into the mountains, missed it, was bowled. Crawley was out two balls after a massive turning ball from Ashwin, which clearly worried the England batters and got into their minds and spooked them a bit. He was caught at leg slip, sort of turning one round the corner. Pope went on to the sweep and top-edged one. Bairstow was beaten by a leg spinner by Kuldeep, was very out LBW. It went to DRS, but it was umpire's call, and because it was given out on the field, it stayed as out. And Stokes got beaten again by a googly from Kuldeep that went between bat and pad and clattered into the off stump. Any side can lose wickets. You lose wickets in a cricket game, and you can lose matches of sports. It's how you lose them. And that top order, I'm afraid today, was blown away. I don't often dig them out, but I'm afraid today wasn't good enough, was it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And as Harmy says, you can say you take positives from it and stuff, but it's the way that they're batting at the minute is going to wear thin with a lot of people. You can see it on social media at the minute and whatever. And you can't continue to play that way all the time. There are times when you have to sit in. Just look what Joe Root's done in this innings. He's faced 120 plus balls and got to 84. So it shows you it is possible if you have the right mindset. You can't just go out there and feel like you're going to hit good bowling around the ground all the time. It's not going to happen. And the one thing that's happening now, captains are now saying, okay, we don't mind if you go at 4-5 and over even more, because we know that at one stage you're going to play one shot too many and we're going to get you. I mean, Ravi Ashwin had bowled 8 overs. He had 3 for 54. You can forget about the 54, but he had the 3 wickets. That was the main thing. And you can see when Ashwin got Ben out, he sort of ran a wicket. It didn't turn. It just slid on. Because of the angle, it just slid on and it beat him in the inside and bowled him. And you can see that frustration. He was annoyed. And it's just, and what I want to speak about as well, Macca, is that this Bazball, or whatever you want to talk about, it's just positive cricket for me, is that when they've done it, it's happened in the second innings. It's not been in the first, and it's been in the second innings when people really don't expect them to chase down 4-350. So you can play with that sort of abandon, like, well, no one's expecting us to win, but we're going to keep being positive and going at it. That is fine. And they've won games on that and given us great memories and things like, this is ridiculous, they're doing this. But you have to do it in the first innings. Can you get to 400? Your captain's won the toss on a good wicket. Yes, it moved around in the morning when it was 6 degrees and Bumrah and Siraj were swinging it around. But you saw that through. We were 64 for none. You know, the partnership that Duckett and Zach Crawley has given England on the regular has been a good one. And then, as Harmy says, Popey's come in and he looks frenetic. You know, for a player that's good and scored a lot of runs, he just looks frenetic. Looks like he wants to feel bat and bowl all the time. You can't just leave it. Let the bowler bowl to you and then you pick him off. But it's like this team have been given a license to just go out there and play your way and no fear of, you know, being left out. We will back you. Just carry on doing that. But I think all their success that they've had, especially when batting, has been in the second innings, and it's been when you've been chasing a ridiculously high score. And yes, you have done it on occasion, but it's been occasions when you haven't done it. And it's like we're remembering that and forgetting about the batsmanship, just going out there. You're playing against... You've got three world-class bowlers in the India lineup. You've got Bumrah, you've got Ravi Ashwin, and you've got Jadeja. There are times when you're just going to have to see them through. You can't hit them out of an attack. You just can't do it. You just got to see them in and pick off the bad balls. They will bowl you bad balls. But you just can't go out there and you're just not batting time. I mean, look, in the second dig, they've not even faced 50 overs. We said they faced 80 overs twice in 10 test matches. On average, they bat 71 overs. For me, you are not going to win a lot of games if you go and bat in that way.
Ben Stokes said coming into this series, India's record is such that teams go there and they've played normal cricket and they've lost. So therefore, why not try something different? Well, 3 years ago during the COVID series, England came to India, won the first test match of the series and then lost the next three heavily to lose 3-1. In this series, they've won the first test of the series in Hyderabad and then lost the next four. So the question I need to ask, Steve, is has this approach worked? Has it borne fruit? Has it proven that it was right to give it a go? Because had they come and played, traditional cricket, would we be looking at the same scoreline ultimately? So were they right to at least try it?
I think if they came and played the traditional way, it might have been 5-0. The result, I don't think, would have been any different. I think they were right to come and play this way. I've got no problem coming over to India and having the mentality and the mindset the way England had. The mentality and the mindset, for me, is why England have had a chance in this series. So I've got no problem with that. I'm not going to be one of these ones that has a go and says, the mistakes they've made when they've been in the positions, that's what, for me, they have to get better. You know, I've got no problem them playing an aggressive manner. I've not got no problem coming across with the mentality of that. But they've got to be smarter in that situation. And it's not... And some people look at it and say, oh, if they just did this, if they just did that. That's the perfect game that nobody plays. And I'm not asking them to play the perfect game. But, geez, play the situation better. Sometimes the situation has just got to be, you know what, this is three great spinners. We're going to have to just sit in a little bit. I'm not talking about blocking the next 20 overs. But what we're trying to do is, right, instead of trying to hit Kuldeep against the spin, let's just try and work him into an area for four or five overs. We'll get three and over. Fielders are back. I mean, we've got them where we want them. Fielders are back. Let's just work him in three or four singles and over. And say to Kuldeep, well, do you know what? You're bowling well, but we're still scoring four and over off you. And then make him bring that fielder in. Or then make him bowl that magic ball, which is over-pitched and he doesn't quite get it right and you bang him out of the ground. These are things I think are what's lacking with this team. That's what I'm saying. I think it's starting to wear thin to turn around and say, this is how we play. That, for me, has got to go out the window. You've got to play smarter. You've got to play a little bit more situation-based. By still having the positive mentality. Positive mentality doesn't mean you have to hit every ball for four. A positive mentality means you're going out there to try and put the opposition on a back foot by playing in areas that they don't want you to play in. Right? And that, for me, is, you know, potentially running harder between the wickets. When the wicket is doing that little bit more and when the boundaries are less accessible, I think that is something where it's getting left behind and getting blasé at. The reason why England have had a chance in this series is because their mindset and their mentality. That's a big tick in the box for me, for Ben Stokes and the way the management have come across here. I just think there's times in India where the last thing you want is to put the next man And I mean it is, it's passing the buck. You put the next man under pressure who's sitting with his pads on in the dressing room because you're out there and you give it away. Once you give it away, you give the opposition a chance to come in and steamroll it over the top of you. I don't know what the stats were telling us yesterday. How many times England have lost 5, 6, 7 wickets in a 50 to a 75-minute period. That there, that's not smart cricket. The mindset is getting them into that position. You know, the criticism should be the ones that identifies that position. And to be fair, you know, I'm holding them all accountable here, because this is not just one person. This is not just young players. Some of the senior players are at fault in that situation. You know, we've got a middle order who have played a lot of cricket, and they've been as guilty as anybody. So I'm not digging out any of the youngsters. I'm not digging out anybody that, you know, I'm digging out the whole unit, understanding that we were that, and I mean they were that, I think they were that close from causing an upset and beating India in India. But at the end of the day, 4-1 looks an absolute hammering. And there's passages of play where I don't think 4-1's right, but there's also passages of play going, you deserve to get beat 4-1 because the way you played in that 50 to 75-minute period.
Interesting tweet by George Debell, the cricket journalist, earlier, saying, when you cross the road, do you just back yourself to make it to the other side, or do you wait for a gap? And then our own Chet Narula is with us in the first two test matches as part of the commentary team, said, and then get run over by a car, saying, no regrets, and then try to cross the road and do exactly the same thing the next day. It does feel a little bit like that. It feels like we are a little bit in Groundhog Day at times, Tubes.
Again, you know, Harmy makes a great point. England have been... You'll look at the deficits of when they've lost. I think it was 106, 400-odd runs, 5 wickets in the last game, and now obviously by an innings and 64. And you look at it and you think it's been an absolute mauling. But there's been situations, and that's what Harmy's telling. You've played a certain way that's got you in a situation. And when you've got into that situation, it's assessing it, knowing it, and saying, right, now we're going to make you pay. But then they just continued on that form and thinking, right, this is what's got us there. We're going to continue. And against world-class teams with world-class bowlers, they're going to make you pay. And there's been 5 times in this series where England have done well and then they've just got blown away. You just can't have sessions where you get 7 for 30 or 10 wickets for 108 runs and 7 for whatever it is and another. So you just can't win matches if that continues to happen. And that's been on the regular. But there have been occasions where England have had a sniff, but they've just not read the situation, played the same way, and then been blown away. So it's been close, even though that the margin, when you look at it at the end, looks like they've been mullered 4-1, and you see the margin of the win. But there's been times when this England team, with the way that they've played, has got them to a point, but then you have to change it up. It's like, right, I'm going to make this bowler bowl another spell. You know, Ravi Ashwin had disappeared for personal reasons for a couple of days. He was gone. So you make the bowlers now bowl. They only have 3 bowlers. But we're still playing the same way, and you can't keep doing that and then ask for us to just sort of leave you alone and say, right, that's the way we play. Sorry.
Looking to the future, a guy's tweeted us, Pete Sports. Do we think we'll ever see an English opener again capable of batting all day and getting an average of 40 runs a session and just occupying the crease? Well, I'll chuck in the answer to that one. Not with this captain and not with this coach.
No, not with the cap. Not so much with the captain or coach, but the way the mindset has shifted and the way the game shifted and changed. You know, Rohit Sharma doesn't do that. We've marvelled on, you know, Asfi Jaiswal in this series, who's going to be an absolute superstar. I can't see him batting a session for averaging 40 runs. Pete, the problem is, it's not the openers. And it's a great question. It is. It really is a great question, because it shows you how much the game's evolved and changed a little bit. But Pete, when you look at this, I looked at it and going, well, the two areas of concern before this series was numbers 1 and 2, possibly number 3, and then the two, well, whoever was going to bowl spin for us. And you know what? Your opening batters, have done very, very well to get England off to a decent start. Mohammad Siraj has been terrible in this series, largely down to the fact that every time he's bowled with a new ball, we've belted him. You know, Bumrah's first spell has not been the greatest spell, and Bumrah's had a good, great series, but it's been his second and his third spells where we've struggled. So I think our openers have overcome that new ball, you know, reasonably well, if not, you know, better than that. and the spin bowlers, well, I'm sure we'll come on to them in a bit, but our spin bowlers who were the concern, I think they've performed well over and above that anybody could, you know, predict what they were going to be in this series. And that's up against Ashwin, Jadeja and Kuldeep, who have been absolutely magnificent. So again, you don't give teams or bowlers like that a sniff. And when you do give them a sniff, they'll run all over the top of you. And that is so many passages over five test matches.
Yeah, and Hartley's ended up with 22 wickets in the series. Bashir has got 17 in the series. So you doff your cap to them. While we're doffing caps, Ravi Chandran and Ashwin, 100th test match. You know, we've looked on the negative side of things. Let's look at the positive for a moment. 100th test match and takes a 9-for in the match. 4 in the first, 5 in the second. And he's been speaking with our friends on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, it's been a memorable game for everyone, and one man, it's been super memorable, Ravichandran Ashwin. 100th game, 9 wickets in the match, 26 overall. Just talk to us about whatever emotions you're going through right now, Ravi. Ashwin.
Actually, I'm very happy. I don't know, I can't really put a wrap around how I'm feeling right now, because there's been quite a lot that's happened over the last week or so. A lot of news before the game about the 100 test. A lot of well-wishers came forward, wished me some great previews by the media team of the BCCI. So yeah, overwhelmed actually. A lot of well-wishers have come forward and sent me messages. But to have a good game in terms of wickets is what a bowler can ask for.
Ash, I've got the first man to reach 100 test matches for India sitting alongside me, the legend Sunny G. He's going to ask you the next one.
Well, all I can say is I didn't even get a half century in my 100 test in both the innings. But you got a fifer. So that must make you feel really pleased, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, through the series, I've gone to different actions, different speeds, different releases. All because India is one place where we play in so many venues, and every surface requires a different sort of skill set to be executed. But overall, I was really pleased with the way the ball came out in this game particularly, Sunny Bhai. Even though I might have gone for a few big hits, it's probably because of the fact that the ball is hanging and it's threatening both sides of the blade. So I was probably the most pleased with this performance and the second innings at Ranchi.
Well, the delivery that you got Bope out, I mean, the way it straightened up just that little bit, it was just amazing. You had bowled one that had gone between bat and pad for byes, missing the leg stump by a whisker, and then you bowled this one because it created doubt in his mind. Terrific, absolutely terrific to watch that.
No, actually, in India, sometimes the beauty is what's gone by, right? And largely, cricket is a game that's played between the two sides of your head here, because what went by was definitely playing on his head. I was expecting him to probably reverse a sweep, and that happened just way too quickly. It looks like a lot is happening because the new ball is biting off the surface. So that's a time where you can really utilize if you can gauge the batsman properly. Yeah, it was one good spell that I went through this morning, and I was able to pick the batsman's particular shot as well.
Ash, you mentioned the different actions, the different releases. Look, as a spinner, it's very tough, isn't it, to be so courageous to try that when you know certain things are working. In spite of that, you try and do different things. How do you manage to do that?
Firstly, like I said, I'm least bit insecure about what people feel about me. I know as a cricketer or anybody at the top level of any other profession will have to take it when they get criticized by the experts. And this is one such case as well. But I've kept my ears and eyes open. I've listened to good feedback, good criticisms, and taken it on board. But unless I try, I'd never be able to learn. So I lock away what I learn. I lock away what the limitations of a particular learning is, and then go ahead. And if I'm confident of trying and executing something, I go ahead and do it. And I don't want to hold back.
Well, that's been the highlight of your career all the time, because, you know, you've always been a student of the game. That's been seen how you're trying to get better every match, you know, with a variety of deliveries, the different delivery actions, the different run-ups that you have. I mean, that's fascinating to watch, you know, how the mind is working, trying to outfox the batter. So, I mean, I can only say that, you know, a lot of good players of spin bowling will be thinking 100 times how to cope up with you. And we heard that from Joe Root before this test match began.
Sunny Bhai, actually, I feel times have rolled along, and in a way, with the number of footages that you get and the video analysis that's going right now, and how frequently you play cricket amongst the top test nations, the batters are constantly prepared and they can line you up beautifully if you're the same person that you keep coming. Of course, there will be phases where you can keep it there and thereabouts tight. You will find good lengths in certain spells, but that's just not good enough to dismiss some good batters. I'm not saying sticking to one method won't work. Thankfully, I am one of those who's experimented implemented and learned, and it's worked for me. I can't say this is the method that somebody else should skin, but nevertheless, with all the analysis and footages going around, it's better that you stay on top of it.
Ash, do you believe in great karma? Because you kept juggling the ball between you and Kuldeep Yadav in that first innings when he took the fifer and you take it fair and square in the second.
Look, I think the far end of this particular ground, I mean, maybe you can call it the hill end, I don't know what it is, but from there I just felt like there's a bit more bite of the surface, and from the other side there's a bit more speed of the surface. So I think if you can use it really well, as you execute your skills, you learn about it, it really works. And with the new ball especially, I got some bounce and kick today, and that was really, really good. And in the first innings, I think Kuldeep, when he came on from the other side, he was able to utilize it. And all in all, I thought the way ball is coming out of Kuldeep's hand is just unbelievable. Watching a wrist spinner in such flow, and the kind of switches he's been able to make through the series, and especially over the last 10 months, is so heartening to see. I can't be more happy for somebody.
Ravi Chandran Ashwin speaking with our colleagues on TV. I tell you what, if he doesn't go into TV, which he probably will when he finally retires, he's going to make a hell of a coach, because listening to the way he talks about the science of bowling spin and the different speeds and all of that and how he differs from that was fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, it was. And Jimmy doesn't come out as sort of as spoken word like what R. Ashwin is, but you know, Brodie was probably similar to what R. Ashwin was when he talks about bowling. But the thing I got away from that is 500 wickets is not enough. It's not enough. You know, he's 38 year old, and 500 wickets, 100 test matches, that's not enough. I'm striving to be better. And that's what I took away from that interview. Whenever in the last 5 years listening to Stuart, the last 5 years listening to Jimmy, it still is. That these are champion cricketers who don't believe that standing still is good enough. They're always trying to be better, always moving the bar to the next level, raising it for the next person that's coming in. And that's exactly what that 5 minutes listening to R. Ashwin was all about.
Right, you mentioned Jimmy. Much earlier on today, James Anderson made it to 700 test match wickets. The first was Mark Vermeulen all the way back on the 23rd of May 2003 as England played Zimbabwe at Lord's. If you're a complete cricket geek and a pub quiz fan, Jacques Callis was the 100th, Peter Siddle was the 200th, Fulton the 300th, Martin Guptill the 400th, Craig Brathwaite the 500th, Azhar Ali the 600th, and Kuldeep today the 700th.
I think I played in the Vermeulen and the Callis one. I'm not sure. I might have played in the Siddle one, and the Siddle one might have been in 2009 Ashes. I think it would have been in the 2009 Ashes when he got the 200. So I probably were playing in that one after that, long gone. And it just shows what an unbelievable career that Jimmy's had. He's bowled brilliant. He's bowled excellent on this trip. And people will keep writing him off. He'll only play two, and he'll play three. You know, how many test matches is he going to play? He played four out of five, and he's been a champion bowler, which I don't think he's going to. He's not thinking about retiring anytime soon. I seen him at the back end of the summer in Scotland. We had a game of golf. Me, Goffey, and Jimmy had dinner. Straussie was there as well. And I was like, come on, Jim, you're going to give up. Your mate's gone. You're going to go. And he's like, homie. And he looked me straight in the eye. He went, I get out of bed in the morning and I still love playing cricket. And that look on his face was something of a picture to say, he's telling me the truth here. He actually does like getting out of bed in the morning, going to the gym, working hard. Because, you know, Jude will tell you, fast bowling is not easy. It's not easy day after day going back to the same place and trying to put yourself in a position to rock up, put your boots on and go and bowl fast again. And you look at this test series, Ollie Robinson, 20 test matches, bowling 126, 127 at most. Jimmy in this game on flat wickets, bowling at 138, 139 kilometres an hour, 41-year-old. We can't say any more. He's just been unbelievable, and it was brilliant to see him and his family get the recognition and the due rewards for 700 test wickets, a feat and a landmark no seamer will get. I don't think we'll get within 200, 250.
Yep, he is the first seamer to get to 700. We've obviously had spinners get there to 700, but Jimmy, the first seamer. Tudes, with the fact that now actually there is a bit of a rest period in terms of red ball cricket, the next test for England is in July when they play the West Indies. It's then Sri Lanka in August. Jim's got time to rest up, get his feet up for a bit. play a bit of red ball cricket for Lancashire at the start of the season, maybe turn out for them, and then get himself fit and firing and ready to go all over again.
Yeah, why not? Listen, you're a long time retired. Yes, he's 41, but he's fit as a fiddle, looks after himself, eats the right way, you know, looks after himself. And a lot of young seamers coming through should look about the way that Jimmy Anderson goes about his business. Yes, the reason why I call him the GOAT, especially for England, you know, when I'm talking about all bowlers that have been before us and whatever, is that on all different conditions, depending on the wicket, Jimmy will bowl accordingly. If a wicket needs him to bowl slightly quicker, he will do. If a wicket says, like, I only really need to hit the seam and manoeuvre it and I'll drop my pace a little bit, he would also do the same. He manoeuvres around the crease, comes around the wicket, changes it up, got slower ball. That's what you need as a fast bowler, and that's what Jimmy Anderson has. That's why he's got the longevity. That's why he's got the wickets he has. Why should he retire? He's still causing batsmen problems. So, yes, continue, Jimmy. You're doing a fantastic job, and we wish we had more of him. But, yes, he'll most probably come back, have a month off. He'll definitely play for Lancashire. He loves playing for Lancashire. He'll bowl. He'll trouble county batters. They will have sleepless nights thinking, oh, geez, Jimmy Anderson's coming at me, and he's going to give me an absolute... examination, that's the word. It'll be an examination. He's not just going to come and bowl gun barrel straight. He's going to test my technique. He's going to work me over. And that's what he'll do. And he'll be ready, as you say, in July, when he's called upon. And he'll just keep going. As Harmy says, there'll be no one, just because of the way that cricket's going, there'll be no one that will come nowhere near him on the seamer front of things. Harmy says 150, 200. I'm trying to think of, you know, fast ball. I'm thinking Rabada's 300 odd, whatever. I don't reckon 250 near
South
him.
Africa don't play enough test matches. Yeah, the only one, you know, Bumrah, where's he going to end up? Where are the likes of Cummins, Stark and Hazelwood going to end up? Yeah, these are the ones. The rest of the world cricket don't play anywhere in North England. I don't think it's got anybody that will come through and play that volume of cricket to get over 300, 350 test match wickets. So I think, you know, Kagiso Rabada is a name which we think has got the skill level to do that, but South Africa don't play cricket.
And also they play all formats of the game where Jimmy just plays red ball cricket. He's not playing white ball cricket anymore. He's not playing franchise cricket. Hazelwood, Cummins, Rabada, they play franchise cricket, so their bodies are going to get tired. There's a lot of travelling. There's a lot on them, on their bodies when they're playing those formats of the game. So I don't think they'll have the longevity that Jimmy's had. So we need to treasure him. We obviously respect him. And long may he continue as long as he feels, as he said, when he gets out of bed, he still wants to do it. He still has the appetite and hunger. So carry on.
Well, there is one man I'm sure treasures, James Anderson, the England captain, Ben Stokes. And he's been speaking with our reporter, Cameron Ponsonby.
Ben, your thoughts on the fifth test match?
I think now we're at the sort of end of the series. You know, obviously I don't give too much away whilst the series is going on. But look, I think it's fair to say and man enough to say that since the first game that, you know, we've been outplayed by the better team. You know, there's been small moments in every game since the first one where we've sort of, you know, give a little bit back, but we've just not been able to manage to maintain that for long enough periods. And obviously in test matches you need to prolong those periods of time where you're on top of the opposition, and every time we sort of did that, you know, India were always able to scrap it back towards, you know, the momentum of them. And so yeah, you know, obviously sitting here now, the series is done, you know, 4-1, we know that we've been sort of done by the better team. But then, you know, me, how I am, you know, I already start looking ahead towards what we've got coming up in the summer. You know, we've got 12 more test matches to look at and focus on, and the things in which I think we can take on and take some real positivity from is quite a few things. You know, we've seen the partnership at the top of the order with Zach and Ducky, you know, just become more formidable. You know, we found obviously Shoaib Bashir and Tom Hartley, you know, Joe Root's coming into some good form, and very small sample size, but obviously me coming back into some sort of competitive bowling now. So, you know, when you look ahead to what we've got coming up in the summer in a short frame time, you know, there's a lot of positives to take forward from that, but obviously not taking away the disappointment from this tour.
Over those next 12 test matches, how do you see this team evolving?
Well, look, I think, you know, we obviously take this series on the chin. You know, we came here with high hopes, and especially after the first game, after winning that, you know, things were sort of looking really good for us. But, you know, I guess as a team, we've got to sort of understand that you know, when you do get that period or when you are on top of the game, it's about, you know, trying to make sure that we stay on top for longer and not giving the opposition a sniff. And, you know, you can use disappointment, you know, one or two ways. You either let it eat you up and bring you down, or you look at it, reflect on it and try and use it as a way to make you a better player and a better team. And, you know, that's definitely what I think this team is about, is that we use, you know, disappointing games or disappointing tours as a way to progress ourselves as a team and as players.
This match has been the anomaly of this series. You've said yourself there are rare occasions when the hairdryer does come out. Is this one of these occasions, or does the message stay the same?
No, I don't. Look, I think playing at this level, we all know and understand where the things have gone wrong for us, you know, as a collective. And that's the thing about, you know, team sport, is that we sort of, you win together, you lose together. And I think everyone knows, without really having to sit people down and, you know, give them a slap on the wrist, as people might say, about this, that and the other. You know, we know that when we have been on top of the games, that we need to, you know, prolong those periods of doing that. And, you know, you wouldn't get to this level without understanding that. You know, we've had some great success over the last 2 years. This is the first time since I've taken over captaincy where we've been, you know, thoroughly outplayed on a consistent basis. And, you know, I think everyone in there knows where those periods have been and why we find ourselves sitting here at 4-1. But, you know, losing and disappointment is sometimes the greatest thing for a team who've had so much success and really makes you want to drive what we have achieved over the last 2 years even further on.
Is disappointment the overriding emotion looking back on this test series?
Well, I think that overall, yeah. But me being the person that I am, and I'm, as I said at the start there, you know, I'm looking at what we've got coming up, and I'm looking what we can take on into the summer in England, and then obviously with our tours to Pakistan and New Zealand after that. You know, it's very exciting for us going forward, and, you know, I always try and take the positives out of whatever we do. And there is definitely some positives that we can take away, but that doesn't hide the fact how disappointing that changing room is, how disappointed I am for the team that have come out here and put a lot of hard work in over the 8-9 weeks that we've been here. So, yeah, obviously pretty disappointed. But now all the focus and energy is going to go into what we can do over the next sort of, you know, 12 to 18 months.
And the word on Jimmy Anderson, 700 test wickets.
Yeah, amazing. Incredible. Just 700 test wickets is a lot, you know. It sounds like, but I look at it, there's a lot of balls, and that is a fair few. But yeah, look, obviously, you know, what he is to this team and the inspiration that he gives a lot of people, not only on the field that he plays with, but also people watching the game. He's an absolute champion of cricketer. And, you know, obviously deservedly is, you know, now with the wickets that he's got, it's gone down as one of the greatest seamers to ever play the game, if not the best.
And how are you feeling with your own bowling? Were you happy with your 5-over spell yesterday?
Yeah, I was. Very sort of, because it's been 9 months and, you know, I've not actually bowled a competitive ball. So 9 months in between bowling, you know, competitive balls and obviously doing all the work in the nets and training and stuff like that, but you can never replicate what it's like to bowl out in the middle with the adrenaline and stuff like that. I honestly couldn't bowl one more over after that 5-over spell because it was completely different. But for me, for confidence wise, knowing that, you know, I can run in and bowl, you know, with more intensity than I've found I've been at training, is really good signs for me. You know, I'm desperate to get back out on the field and play the role that, you know, I have done for so long now. And I'm really excited for what we've got coming up in the summer and being able to not only influence the game with the bat and my captaincy, but now also with the ball.
So what is up next for you? Are you going to go back and play some county championship, or is it rest and recovery?
Yeah, look, you know, we've just finished the tour. It's been a long tour, a long, hard tour. So get back, you know, get a bit of feet up. Really looking forward to going back and seeing the family. And then we'll go from there.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well.
if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ben Stokes in conversation with Cameron Ponsonby. It is one of the unfortunate things being captain of England is that whatever you say gets picked apart and analysed by people like us. And the thing that kind of leapt out at me there was everyone in the dressing room knows why we're here at 4-1 and then we're, you know, asked about staying with the policy. Unfortunately, you've got the two things there. Everyone knows why we're 4-1 down, but they're repeating the same mistakes and because they're doing the same things, being bloody-minded? Is that maybe too strong in the fact that they've said this is going to be our approach and this is what we're going to do and we're going to darn well stick to it?
Yeah, it was an interview I was expecting. It was a real interview. It was an interview not full of cliches trying to protect people. I thought it was an honest interview by somebody who always speaks well and honestly about the whatever situation they're in. Disappointing thing for me when he was speaking about that, the mistakes and the issues he's talking about was from senior players. They were from senior players and middle order players that, you know, possibly did keep getting 25 and 30 and getting out. So I take the point you're making is a valid point, Macca, and that's where you have to say to the selection panel and the teams, the people that are picking the team, at what point do you go, well, if they keep making the same mistakes, how long do we carry on making the same mistakes? And I think that's a big, big question for Rob Key, Brendan McCullum, Ben Stokes, and Luke Wright. They've got to look at this group and say, well, is he in for the long haul? Or in this way, what we keep talking about, the way we play, which I don't like, at what point do we go, well, if he's going to keep playing that way and making that same mistake, when do we then cut ties? And I think that is probably what needs reflecting on, that Ben saying over the course of the next few months going on. Because, yes, there is, like you said, there is a bit of time between now and the next Red Bull game. But it'll come round quickly. It'll come round very, very quickly. July, it'll come round very, very quickly. And England will be back in their whites, having the similar maintenance and game plans going into a series against a poorer side. And all of a sudden, England just brush them aside. And do we then go, England have fixed their mistakes? No, they haven't. Just played against a bang average team in our own back garden. So I think in a period of honest reflection of where this team is going and going forward to get to the ultimate, which is it's not about what's happening in the summer. It's not about going to Pakistan and New Zealand, even though they're on the roadmap. It's about building for one big series in Australia and which ones are going to go with us, which ones are keep making the mistakes and which ones under pressure, and I think that's the big key, under pressure, when they keep making the mistakes, maybe they're not the people that we're going to take to Australia.
Well, it's been an interesting day for the Indian captain, Rohit Sharma. We've not actually seen him out on the field at all due to having a stiff back, but he will be picking up the Anthony DeMello trophy very shortly indeed. Before he does that, he's going to be speaking with Harsha Bhogle.
What pleases you most about what happened today?
Honestly, a lot of things, to be honest. When you win a test match like this, obviously everything has to fall in place, and there is a lot of things that we did right through the test match which exactly fell into the place that we wanted, and which is why we stand here with this result.
You could have started the series thinking about who's not playing. There were a lot of key players not playing. You look at the batting order in this series, there's Rohit Sharma and a bunch of young kids all around you. How did you overcome the fact that you were without a lot of match winners?
Yeah, look, at some stage, people are going to go, people are going to come. We know that. But like I said at the beginning as well, all these guys are
probably short in experience, but they played a lot of cricket, wherever they played, and they do understand, how to play the game. It's just that, sometimes you got to nurture them and make them understand the situation of the game. That is what it's all about. And I can stand here and say that, these guys, when put under pressure, they responded pretty well throughout the series. There can be so many examples through the test matches where we were put under pressure and we came back pretty well. And a lot of the credit goes to the entire team for that. Whoever was in the situation, whoever was supposed to put their hand up in the middle, they did put their hand up, which was pleasing to see.
The batters obviously made enough runs to win the series, but how good was the bowling? And it must have been enjoyable to just look around and see the bowling resources at your command.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you win a series like this, we talk about scoring runs, we talk about putting a lot of runs on the board, but it is as important to take 20 wickets to win the test matches. We came pretty close in Hyderabad, and then the next four test matches, how everyone, all the bowlers, came and responded and took the responsibility. It was pleasing to see. They wanted to make a difference. Anyone who had the ball in hand wanted to make a difference, and you could see that today.
I've seen you in the past when Kuldeep was down, putting your arm around him and having long conversations with him. I'd love to know your conversations with him now that he's bowling as well as he's ever bowled before.
Yeah, it was a long conversation, and it's not maybe once or twice. It was over the period of time that we had conversation with him. Certainly has got a lot of potential. We know that can be match winner on his day. We saw in the first innings where chips were down a little bit, he came and bowled pretty well. He's got something about him which we all need to accept and be happy about, to be honest. And yes, like you said, after his injury, he had a knee injury a couple of years back, and he has come back, worked at NCA, worked with his coaches, and is putting a lot of body on the ball now, which is good to see. Most pleasing was his batting through the series.
I'm glad you mentioned that. When I first asked you about Yashasvi Jaiswal, you were a little hesitant to talk him up. Now it's been the end of a series. He's made 700. It's been a fabulous debut. Tell us a little bit more about this young man.
Yeah, I can talk about him now. But again, guy's got a long way to go. Started off really well. This is amazing to be in this position for him personally. And we saw through the series, wants to take on the bowlers. And that is something that we want to encourage. When the guy's got talent like that, who can play the shots like that, puts bowlers under pressure from the word go. And something that we want to encourage and something we want to take forward. Obviously, there will be a lot of challenges for him moving forward. But I'm pretty sure he's a tough guy, has come a long way where he is right now. So obviously, he will understand what he needs to do individually. And then, of course, what the team expects from him as well. But yeah, like you said, clearly, superb series for him. Likes to score big. We saw that. And I hope that he continues to do that.
Rohit Sharma in conversation with our mate Harsha Bhogle, speaking there after completing a 4-1 series win. Kuldeep did get player of the match for the test match, and Yashasvi Jaiswal, unsurprisingly, has got player of the series for his 712 runs at an average of 89. While we might be a little bit concerned about the direction of travel from an England point of view, Alex Tudor, from an Indian point of view, the fact that Kuldeep is now standing up and absolutely, in the past he's been a white ball bowler. He now looks a red ball bowler, and in Jaiswal, he looked like a world beater.
Yeah, and in, Ravi Ashwin alluded to it in his interview at the end, the control of a wrist spinner that Kuldeep's got at the minute, that confidence that's getting, because we've got to remember, he did get the yips. He couldn't land it a few years ago. And so he's obviously worked really hard at his game. He's come into it back-to-back fifers. He's bowled beautifully. The control, he's bamboozled the England batsmen in middle order that are experienced. They couldn't pick him. His wrong-un, they couldn't pick him. And that's just going to give him confidence. And you put him there with Ravi Ashwin and Jadeja, they're going to be formidable. I mean, what type of a wicket do you produce for India if they come and see you? You've got Mohammed Sami to come back. Yeah? You bowl him with Jasprit Bumrah, for me, who's number one in the world. You got Siraj, you know, who's not a new ball bowler, but you bring him first change, all of a sudden, that's different. Are you going to produce a spinning wicket? If you do, you're going to get beaten up by India. And then Jaiswal, for me, he's going to be a world beater. He's going to be a world beater. There's nothing in his technique, the way he is, that steeliness, that doesn't tell me he's going to score runs all the way around the world very quickly, but he's going to do it in a way where it's calculated. He's not just going to go out there and swing and try and dispatch the ball to all parts all the time. I'm sure he will assess the situation and he will score big runs. He's got an appetite for scoring big runs. You do not get double hundreds in a series back-to-back and think he doesn't enjoy batting. He enjoys batting. He enjoys batting time, long, and likes to bat and get runs. So now India have massive headaches because, as you said, no Kohli, no KL Rahul, Mohammad Shami to come back, Richard Pant to come back. I mean, when you get your opportunity, and that's what you want. You want competition for places. So when you get your opportunity, do you take it or do you make it easy for the selector to say, okay, you got your cap, well done, but the big gun's coming back. No, you want that problem that, you know, Jarrell's come in. He's looked good with the bat. He looks composed, assured. So it's a good headache to have. You've got world-class players to come back who undoubtedly will come back and play. But the catalogue of players that they have, Indian cricket is in good stead.
By the way, Ben Stokes referred earlier to the number of balls that James Anderson has bowled in Test matches. It's now at 39,877. So if he gets basically 20 overs and three balls in, he'll have hit 40,000. The only other people who've gone past 40,000, Shane Warne, 40,705. Anil Kumbley, 40,850. Mattia Muralitharan, and again, he's out on his own, 44,039 balls in Test cricket.
It's just in Test matches.
That's in Test matches.
And the three you mentioned, they're spinners.
Yeah.
This absolutely. Is a seamer. This is a guy who burst into the scene by 90 mile an hour. This is what that tells you, his body. You know, 180 plus Test matches, 700 wickets. We ain't seen it again. Not from a seamer.
Absolutely. Right, let's round things up. To give you an idea, obviously Ben Stokes is doing all the interviews today. I would imagine Brendan McCullum will sit down with the media tomorrow and do, if you like, the fallout pieces the day after the game ends. And I imagine there's going to be an awful lot of questions about style of play, about approach and going forward. So, gentlemen, I'll ask you both the same question. What would you like to hear Brendan McCullum say tomorrow after a 4-1 series defeat in India? Harmy, I'll start with you.
He's not going to dig anybody out. He's going to speak exactly the way Ben has spoke. And if it was me, I'd be saying we've lost 4-1. But the people that I was expecting to perform probably didn't perform as well as you would think. And the people that I was thinking that we're going to have to protect and bring in and take out and look after, they've actually done as good, if not better, than we expected. So from a positive and negative point of view, I think, you know, there are positives. You know, the two at the top were very, very good and very, very strong. Put, you know, India under pressure. The two spin bowlers. We had one cap between three of our spin bowlers after Jack Leach goes home. And that, for me, has been a positive. So we've unearthed some, you know, huge potential in the England cricket team going forward. We have possibly found some new questions about some experienced players going forward. And I think that is something I would imagine. I'm not sure he'll say that, but that for me would be my summarisation of this tour. That there was a question mark over the openers, they've performed. There's no question for me, Pope, Root, Bairstow, Stokes in the middle order in English conditions will perform. And then, you know, we've got Asima, who, you know, we've said, you know, beautiful things about. He can't go at carry on forever, but he will carry on in the summer, and that's Anderson. Mark Wood will play the same amount of Test matches and bowl quickly, caused, you know, a few issues. And we've got a spinner that can bat in Hartley, and we've got a spinner who is probably a better spinner than Hartley from an actual individual skill set point of view in Bashir, who, if Jack Leach is not fit, or if England want to go down a different route, we have unearthed somebody with now Test matches under their belt and confidence moving forward. So that, for me, is what I'd be looking coming out of this tour. I was expecting us to lose. I was expecting us to fight, which we did. I was expecting us to be. But I think
we could potentially look at this tour and go, there were some missed opportunities, and we could have gone a whole different scoreline by the end of it. And Brendan McCullum might just say that.
James, what would you like to hear then?
Yeah, I'd just like him to come out and say, listen, yes, have we competed? Yes, have we given India things to think about? Yes, but in those situations, we may have needed to play slightly different. When you get into those situations, it's about assessing it, knowing and thinking, okay, I need to play slightly different. I need to bat for a little bit longer. I need to make sure that my bowlers are getting a little bit more rest, so when they come out, they can go and do their things. He'll be very ultra-positive about the young spinners in Bashir and Tom Hartley. As Harmy rightly says, they've come out and they can hold their heads up high. 38 wickets between them. No one did expect that, apart from Harmy. He did say Tom Hartley will be the surprise wicket taker, and that's been proven the case. Bashir has been a great find. That was a gut feel from Ben Stokes, who saw him on a YouTube clip, and him and I'm sure Brendan McCullum and Rob Key would have said, yep, let's take him because of the height, and that seems to work. So I think you persevere with him for sure, and you think, okay, he will be going out to Australia. My worry is how much cricket is he going to play when he gets back, when he goes back to Somerset? We know the conditions in April, what it will be like. Obviously, Jack Leash, you know, God willing, we hope that he's fit and he's able to bowl again. So how much bowling is he going to get? Does he need to go on loan to get some bowling? Because you don't want him not bowling and then obviously having to go to Australia. That is going to be difficult. So, you know, the middle order, as Harmy says, you know, the top order, you know, Zach Crawley has answered a lot of questions. He's given England a fantastic start. Ben Duckett, even though I don't want to talk about his dismissal today, he's batted well, as we would expect in India, against spin. He's got 300-odd runs. Joe Root, world-class. Ben Stokes is going nowhere. Bairstow in England will get runs. For me, if anyone drops Ben Folkes, I'm going to have problems with him. For me, he's the best keeper, and I'm old school. I want my keeper to catch and stump. But it creates a problem, doesn't it? It does create a problem. But for me, he would play. And then you've got, you know, as Harmy said, you know, you've got Mark Wood. He will give you, in certain wickets, a lot of pace. Jimmy Anderson will go about doing his stuff. Ollie Robinson will need to go back to Sussex, get himself fit, bowl some overs. And then we know what he can do in English conditions. So they've got issues. I mean, Chris Wokes, does he come back into the equation in English conditions? So there's options in England. As you say, we don't want to look too much into it, because you'd expect England to win with the opposition that's coming up to beat them and beat them well. But I don't want it to paper over the cracks, because, you know, if you want to go down as a great team, you need to go to India and win. You need to go to Australia and win. I couldn't care less about the rest. They're the two places in world cricket that you need to go and show something. And the first case hasn't been quite the case. They've shown glimpses, but unfortunately, they got found wanting.
So there we go. It's a tour that started in Hyderabad and finished in the mountains in Dharamshala. Everyone talking about the beauty of Dharamshala. Have you not been to the County Ground Derby? I mean, you don't know what you're missing. Well, it was a tour that promised so much, England winning in Hyderabad, but we all thought that there was a chance that India would fight back, and they have done so. They have taken the series 4-1. Thanks to all the commentary team, all the production team that have got us on air for the last few weeks, be it here in London or indeed in India in the early part of the tour. And thank you to the two teams for providing us with such incredible cricket over these last few weeks. TalkSport Cricket will be back soon, but for the time being, thank you very much for joining us here on TalkSport 2 and the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel.
You've been listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. If you missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, for more cricket content, you can listen to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 every Tuesday evening, as Neil Manthorpe and Double Ashes winners Steve Harmison debate the biggest stories with a host of big names. And if you want to send us a question to a member of the TalkSport team, you can tweet us at @cricket_TS, and we'll answer your question on the next podcast. But for now, you've been listening to Following On.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.